Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda, whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dudes, behind the foods. Yo, it's the dudes, behind the foods. Dudes, behind the foods. Yeah, it's the dudes, behind the foods.
That's actually really fucking good.
Guess what, guys? We're in the same outfits as the last episode.
Because I forgot to bring a change of clothes.
And because life is crazy, man. Sometimes you just gotta do what you do and make light of what you have. And oh my God, have you been watching, dog, the new Naked and Afraid season?
I have not. I just started watching the show that you told me about on Amazon and
ooh,
I'm dying.
Jury Duty.
Jury Duty is so subtly funny.
Yeah.
It's just like, I have to do a double take because of how stupid the things that are being said. I don't know why the second episode had me dying just from the one Korean guy. He just is like, you know, it's about jury duty, which if you guys have done jury duty before, this is actually kind of very real.
Oh, yeah. So, okay, if y'all don't know, so my boy PD Flo was like, bro, you have to watch this show Jury Duty on Prime right now. He was like adamant about this shit. He was like, watch it, dog. It's so fucking funny. And if y'all don't know, or if you haven't heard of it, it's one of these shows. It's been done before, from what I've heard, but it's great. Okay, so it's this dude that signed up for what he thought was going to be jury duty and what he thought was going to be a documentary-style movie on the process of jury duty, right? So he goes, and he goes to jury duty, but everybody that's there, literally every single person, is an actor, an improv actor, and he has no idea. So they're putting him in all these very precarious situations, and they're getting his reactions and how he kind of like deals with it, and it's so funny. Dude, so good.
There's just one I'll tell you how fucking subtly stupid and funny it is.
I have one too. Go.
It's just this, there's a Korean guy out there, and he's like, he can't be there because he's a business, he's an owner operator of two businesses, but it's two gumball machines.
Yeah, and he says it real nonchalant. He's like, yeah, I'm a manager of two gumball machines. So
he's an owner operator of two gumball machines, and then you see him go aside, and he's talking. I'm like, dog, this is the dumbest show ever.
So here's the clip that PD Flo told me about that sold me. Well, I was like, I didn't even have to, like, I was like, I need nothing else because that shit made me laugh. He's like, so there's a part where they're, without spoiling anything too much for y'all, there's a part where they're trying to figure out if the name Cody is a girl name or a guy name. And this girl, she's talking and she's like, yeah, you know, it could, I mean, Cody could be a guy, you know, like basketball player Cody Bryant. And then she goes, swing. As opposed to swish.
And I got to tell you, like, the reason why this is also really funny, mockumentary style things are only funny to the caliber of the actors and actresses that are there.
Right, right, right.
Because it has to be that believable.
Yeah, yeah,
where
yeah.
The ridiculousness seems believable.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody there is on fucking point. And I forget that sometimes I'm watching a comedy until the stupid words come out because everybody's acting is so fucking good.
How far along are you?
Episode 4.
Okay. What's lit is I saw this interview with Marsden, the actor, the real actor, X-Men, Cyclops.
Yeah.
And he's saying that, you know, the shit that starts happening is so ridiculous that, of course, you know, they were worried that the dude being pranked, fucking Ronald, would get suspicious, right? So what they would have to do, bro, just to drill in that this is really jury duty, is he said they put in a good 80% of real boring jury time where they would sit through, like, hours and hours of court procedures where nothing funny was happening. No, like, funny shit. They're just like, oh, we're really in court right now. To drill it home, like, oh, you're in jury duty right now. You know what I'm saying? And that shit's like the commitment that you had to do. Like, the actors, I was so just mind blown when you really start to, like, absorb everything that they're doing. It's like, yo, this shit is crazy.
It's so good. Like, conceptually speaking, right? Like, when you think about it, it almost seems impossible to do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But they did it. And they did it so fucking well. I had this TV show idea that almost got picked up, like, very fucking close. It was my character for Kim Jong-il, right? And Kim, it was half reality, half not, right? So every time we shot this, it was going to be half actors and half not. People don't know what's going on because his character is so fucking ridiculous. And the first episode that we were going to shoot, it was an episode where Kim Jong-il, his name wasn't going to be Kim Jong-il. It was going to be something a little more realistic, right? So it's not to give it off.
Mm-hmm.
But he's somebody that's from North Korea and he was a high-level military person. So when he comes to America, he doesn't realize that everybody gasses him up over there. So everything he does is amazing because he's a god.
Right, right, right.
But over here, it's reality.
Mm-hmm.
So he's trying to build a business and he wants to fill in a gap that other people don't have. So he develops a women's self-defense course.
Okay, hilarious.
Uh-huh. And it was so fucking, when I pitched this shit, like, the writers who are comics were fucking crying laughing.
Yeah.
And the executive were mortified because it was about, he's a women's self-defense instructor, right? And the first episode is that he thought the women's self-defense class was him teaching sexual offenders how to defend himself against women. And so the whole course is how to beat up women. And so it was all these ridiculous scenarios, all these acronyms that were all fucked up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then in this episode is that half of those women are there to learn self-defense and the other half are paid actors.
Oh, hilarious.
So it was just going to be this whole situation. It was this close to getting picked up.
And what happened?
It was during the time North Korea tapped into, like, US's shit.
She was getting serious.
So they didn't want to take it. So it's a little crazy. So it was, like, a little touchy. So they passed on it.
Okay, well, I'm going to steal it and repitch it.
You should. It would be hilarious. And then I want to get paid. Just take it. I don't care.
Well,
I don't need the fame. I want the check.
I want it all. So on this new season, dog, of Naked and Afraid, it's great because they brought back a bunch of the OGs again, right? Which they do for the XL Naked and Afraids. But this time, bro, it's the first time where there's a cash prize, $100,000, and it's Naked and Afraid, last man standing or last one standing. So for the first time ever, there's an elimination process and they start competing and it's a shit like this. It's like, you know how when they first get dropped off, they have a sack with, like, a couple things, a pot, maybe a fire starter. This time they open their sack, nothing inside. And the only way, they have to follow a map to find certain things that are like fucking hidden. There's like, you know,
that's hella hard.
Bow and arrows hidden in a tree. They fucking, sometimes they thought they were gonna find the shit at the location, but it's not there. They gotta dig to get shit. And they, and it's the first time where there's actually been like mad drama, dog, because like one guy, he wants to like, he found some knives and he wants to trade, but everyone else is like, no, what's this trading bullshit, bro? Like, let's be a community until we have to actually compete. You know what I'm saying? So they're all pissed at him and they don't want to feed him any food. It's crazy.
Dude, you got to watch another show. It's on Netflix.
Okay.
It's very similar to that, but it's about teams. And there's like sabotage. Mm. People are like fucking with people to the point where they're making them quit on purpose.
Mm.
And it's fucking nuts. There's it was actually a lot of drama because there was two girls that teamed up and the whole world hated them because they were evil. They were evil ass people. So technically what they were doing was wrong, but it wasn't in the rule book that you couldn't do the things that you were doing.
Mm.
So they would, there was an episode where they walked up and they basically started destroying another contestant's raft and shelter.
Damn.
Like fucking it up. And they're like, what are you doing? They're like, if you don't want to be a part of this shit, then quit. Just drop out right now. Just quit. Drop out. And so they're fucking his camp up. They're fucking his boat
and
up.
And they're in the wilderness?
They're in the wilderness.
What the fuck?
It was crazy drama. That show is fucking nuts.
What's
dude.
It called?
I'll find it and I'll send it to you. But it was pretty crazy. And people hate them.
Wow.
People, like in real life, they hate them. They're getting like death threats because of how terrible of human beings they are. And they're like, we know it's a game, but you are definitely trash human beings.
That's kind of the drama on this season of Naked and Afraid, because this one dude that doesn't want to participate in the community aspect of it. You know, there's one part where he's like, everyone's just kind of looking for resources in this like river. And he sees another team's pot that they boil their water in. He's like, nah, I could totally eliminate two of my competitors right now and just kick their pot into the ocean and they would never know, right? And he's like, but I'm not gonna do that. And he tells him, he's like, hey man, you know, had a moment right now where I thought, I could ruin their game and kick their pot into the ocean, you know? And this guy, Steven, he's like, so what, you want me to thank you for not being an asshole? Like, you're saying that to me like, you want me to say thank you, you know?
Yeah, it's like, why would you openly tell me that?
Yeah, exactly.
You fucking idiot, now I don't trust you at all.
Exactly.
That's a dumbie. Ooh, dummy. I say dumbie.
Dumbie. But speaking of Naked and Afraid, dog, okay, so I had this idea in my head, and I'll say it now because I feel like this podcast is where we kind of workshop ideas too and give them away to people. But what if we did an episode of When Foodie Calls / Send Foods, right? Mockumentary style, where it's us naked in the wilderness and we're like, we're treating it just like an episode of Send Foods, but we're like, oh, wow, the berries we found on this branch. Oh, let me tell. Oh, like the bitterness really complements the blah, blah, blah. But we're naked and we're like killing animals and shit. But it's like an episode of Send Foods.
We're never going to do this.
No. Never.
We're never going to do it. That requires so much work.
Or maybe we will.
Well, who fucking knows?
We'll see. After I write the movie.
You know what's trippy, though?
What?
You know, because there's like this whole writer strike going on, mm-hmm. right? I didn't really think about this until I was... I had my YouTube thing going on, and then Dumb's podcast came out, and then he was interviewing one of the creators or the writers of Beef.
Yeah,
and then he was giving Dumb credit for this joke that they put in Beef with how much they could recognize an Asian by the back of their head, right? And there was like a funny conversation that Dumb had with Rick on there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, that's kind of dope. He was like,
Dumb's
yeah.
Rick, not my Rick.
Yeah, yeah, so that's dope. But then in my mind, the second thought of that, I was like, wait, so you stole his joke? Like, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
You openly stole his shit? And mm-hmm. then you're saying it right now, like he's supposed to compliment you?
Yeah.
But then, you know, Dumb was like, oh, that's dope. I'm like, Dumb, that's actually not dope.
Oh, Dumb didn't even know?
Well, he told him on the podcast. And then Dumb was like, oh, yeah, I saw that you got that inspiration. I'm like, that's not inspiration. He actually stole your joke. But I don't know, like, how people feel about that.
How interesting.
Right? I mean, I saw it a little differently.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that would suck that I'm putting my own jokes and my own life story into this, and then I suddenly see it in a script. It's like, wait, that's my life story.
I definitely look at it similar to how you look at it. Because, yeah. For example, I have, like, a notepad of funny Rick jokes that yeah. he's just kind of said in life, right? That I want to work into a script. But I personally... I don't even like using other people's jokes not in a script. Like if I say something that I feel like was someone else's joke, I immediately will be like, oh, that wasn't my joke though.
You know what I'm saying?
Because I just feel bad about it. And so I have these like four or five Rick one-liners written down that I want to put in a script. And 100% in my mind, I want to give Rick like co-writing credit just for these fucking five lines. You feel me?
Yeah.
Or however that process is, I need to have it known that he was a part of the process or else I just wouldn't feel right.
Yeah,
because
it's their genius. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So like, I'm not saying anything bad about the guy, right? Yeah. But I'm like, I wonder if that line doesn't exist anymore. It's like, no, I heard it on a podcast so I could say it. But it's like, wait, if you got that joke from Dumb, then that's his writing credit. Just because you heard it on a podcast, or that's just how I feel. But like I said, Dumb doesn't feel a way about it, right?
Right.
But like when he said that openly, I was like, wait, is that a joke or is he for reals?
I mean, it brings into the question the ethical dilemma of, let's say, like AI, right? And that's the biggest, one of the big issues with like the writer's strike is like people worried about AI and people, you know, AI being used to like replace writing jobs and shit, right? Because a lot of times AI is just, you know, it scans the internet, I mean, scans, I don't know, millions of scripts online and it creates its own shit coming from that, right? Or even like the AI app we're all using on Instagram like a few months ago, there were some artists that were pissed because they were like, okay, yeah, this is AI generated, but the inspiration is obviously from the art that I've created. Like where, I don't know if you heard about this, but even like some of the AI created images kind of had like a morphed recreation of these artists' like little signatures from their original artwork. So it's kind of like, where is the line drawn between inspiration and theft?
Yeah, that's the thing that I was curious about, like just in that specific instance, because I'm like, oh, is that inspiration or is that like taking, right?
Right.
And I just didn't know. I'm like, well, I guess because we put the information out there in podcast world or whatever, whatnot. So is it free use now? Or is it like, hold on a second, you bit off my shit.
It's tough, especially when like, I've probably said a couple jokes that I didn't even realize were in the back of my mind because I heard them somewhere else. 100%, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like, but when you knowingly, I'm like, oh, this is someone else's joke and I'm going to put it in this script and you use it without telling them. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. Like I felt a certain way about that. Like, because I loved it. I thought the show was great.
Yeah, same.
You know what I'm saying? So now it's like, if I watch it a second time, I'm like, I wonder if that was yours. or did you take that from somebody else?
That's fair.
You know, now it's like, makes me question things. I was like, oh, God damn it. I hate this. I'm just going to watch and enjoy.
Am I allowed to write during the writer's strike, even though I'm not a part of the union? Am I allowed to write my script? Or am I supposed to show solidarity and not work?
I'll tell you this. Whether the strike was happening or not, you weren't going to write anything anyways. So that question is irrelevant. All right. I've heard this so many fucking times. The whole audience is Chia now. They're just like, yeah, right, buddy.
Not true. Somebody sent me a quote from Rob Dyrdek today and was like, see, Tim, you can do it. Write that movie script, buddy.
What did Rob Dyrdek say? That billionaire.
I forget. It was something about like, you know, procrastination is something. Hey, do it. That thing you've been talking about doing. And I'm like, fuck. Yeah, he's right. I should.
That's it.
It was better on Twitter. But that's the long and short of it.
Hey, when you want to do something, do it.
Hey, look, sometimes you got to hear that shit, bro. Sometimes all it takes is someone to be like, hey, man, just do that shit. And you're like, fuck, you're right.
You right should do that shit. Even though your wife tells you that every day.
I know.
And they hear it from somebody else.
They're like, hey man, look. You ever think that maybe you should just stop putting it off and just do it? And you're like, oh my God.
Nobody has ever put it to me like that where I could understand.
Because here's the thing. Procrastination.
Oh Lord.
Procrasting Asian.
Wow.
Pro, cast an Asian in your movie film because there is a film growing on my brain from not being used. The creative process processed meat in my stomach.
Wow.
Gives me diarrhea.
Wouldn't want to be ya.
See ya. Never shows her face when she sings. I just want to swing from the chandelier.
Oh, you chose a hard one there.
A Learjet is what I fly on.
try on new clothes from goodiebrand.com. We got a new collaboration with Care Bears. Check it out, goodiebrand.com. We'll be right back.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
This episode is brought to you by Saks.com. At Saks.com, it's easy to find your new vibe. Dive into the Western trend with gold cowboy boots from Staud or go full 90s throwback with platforms from Prada. You can shop for everything on your agenda. Whether it's a breezy Zimmermann dress for a garden party or a bright Chloe blazer for brunch. Find inspiration for your new vibe every day at Saks.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Tim.
And David.
And if you want to listen to Dudes Behind the Foods without ads, now you can.
Just go to dudesbehindthefoods.supercast.com or click the link in the episode description and you can get a 1 week preview of the ad-free version for free.
You'll get ad-free listening to the show. You can listen on almost any podcasting app and you'll be supporting our show too.
That's dudesbehindthefoods.supercast.com. Thanks.
We're back, and David So just now told me that this shit was falling down.
It was hilarious to me, and I enjoyed it very much. You are an idiot. Also, Care Bear collab, fucking fire.
Thanks, man.
It looks amazing. The jackets, fire.
Thanks, dude.
Hilarious and funny and great.
Oh, you like a caring bear?
Yes.
That was my idea.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like it a lot.
We were brainstorming because, you know, we're like, okay, cool. We got this collab with Care Bears. What are we going to do? And I'm like, how do y'all feel about this bathing ape flip? And I literally like just put it together with like just copy and pasted some shit on my computer. I was like, how about this? And then our design guy made it happen. I was like, ooh.
It's actually really, really dope.
Thanks, man.
I like it very, very much.
Yeah, this is our biggest collab ever to date. So we're excited about
What's your next move with Goody? Because clothing is hard, right?
It's so fucking hard.
It is one of the things that it's never a regret. It's not what I'm saying, but I didn't realize what I was taking on when we started these clothing brands, right? Because yeah, it does decent, but it's a very competitive and hard, I say even more than entertainment.
Yes, because everyone feels like, I mean, yeah, everyone feels like they can be an actor too, but also everyone feels like they can start a clothing brand. And look, if you have that notion to do it, good luck. Because like, I have a pretty substantial audience, right? Like you think, and like you have a really big fan base as well. And you think, I'm going to put out clothes and everyone's going to buy that shit.
Yep.
And it is not the case.
It's not the case at all. And, you know, and I see with other people too, where sometimes they kind of work the angle of merch instead, right? Mm-hmm. And merch, I think financially probably does better.
Yeah,
right?
I agree.
Because you're not worried about quality. You're not actually putting in all the work to make it look great, but you're still charging the same price
and
people will still buy it. It's just like, if I wouldn't wear it, I don't want to put it out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I think we're the same way in this where when I when me and Rick were like, let's start a clothing brand, we were very adamant about it, like not being Timothy merch. You know what I'm saying?
By what it is by itself.
Yeah, exactly. Every time someone is like, yo, what is that you're wearing? People that don't even know me, they're like, well, where is that from? We're like, yes.
That shit feels good.
Yes.
Oh my God, that shit feels good.
It's rewarding, you feel me? But the clothing brand shit is, you know, it's not as much reward as you would expect. And so when you ask that question, to be honest, man, it's like, yeah, like you said, it does okay, right? We're not fucking killing the game. We're not going broke either. But, you know, I'll be lying if I said that, you know, we didn't have the occasional conversation of like, okay, do we want to continue this?
Oh, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Because it's like, it's a lot of work. And sometimes you got to really weigh your options. Like, is this worth it? You know?
Yeah.
How about you?
For us too, like we've had that conversation. I think for like the brand that I have is very niche, right? Mm-hmm. Like it's contemporary fashion basics. So our stuff is kind of more geared to like what I normally would wear,
mm-hmm.
but it's stuff that we want people to wear constantly. And it's, you know, like our motto is like basically basics never die. Like you wear basics for the rest of your life. It'll never go out of fashion.
Yeah. Yeah.
The idea behind that, though, is like it's just hard to compete, mm-hmm. you know, because other people will put shittier things out than you and it'll sell better. But mm-hmm. and they still pay the same price. But yeah. It's like, how do we change this brand perception? How do we get this out there? How do we have every piece in everybody's closet? It's hard. And mm-hmm. like if you think like trends change fast in any other facet outside of fashion trends, that it goes like this.
Mm-hmm.
Super fucking fast. People are looking for something new, something fresh every fucking time.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, it's a challenge every season. Like you have to switch it up every fucking season.
Here's what fucks me up is we gotta be ahead.
Yes.
You gotta be ahead to keep on track with the seasons. Like we forget that shit. Like it'll be spring and we'll be like, oh, here's an idea for a spring shirt. And then you forget that this shit probably won't come out till like 2 months after spring. And it's like, fuck, I'm not organized enough for this.
Yeah,
you know?
I didn't realize that either. Like when you have to do, let's say you're doing a winter line, right? Well, mm-hmm. guess what? You have to submit everything once summer starts.
Yeah.
So it's like, that's so much fucking prep because especially if you're doing international orders, which a lot of us have to do depending on what piece that you do, unless mm-hmm. you're doing like a domestic line. It's going to come in after, by the way, that sample's coming in and then you send it back out. Samples come back in, send it back out. So they get it right. And then it's 4 months later, you finally have your stuff.
It's so silly.
It's hard, man.
I wouldn't be able to do it without Rick and Benji, who is like, they are like the heart of the shit. You know, I'm more of like marketed front man ideas on occasion, but like they run all like the behind the scenes shit, all the production. And they be stressing out, bro. I'll tune into the group chat every once in a while. Like, I don't know what the fuck they be talking about. I'm like, oh God. All right. Well, let me know when we're brainstorming ideas for a t-shirt.
This is way too technical.
You're like, okay guys, I don't know. You guys handle that.
I'm going to go sleep.
Otherwise, man, I probably wouldn't have a clothing brand if it wasn't somebody being like, hey, I'm going to do everything. You know what I'm saying? It's just a lot.
And you know, we're also, I think like the hard part too is sometimes people forget that, you know, we're competing against big name brands,
mm-hmm.
right? Like big name fucking brands. They go, well, their stuff is this. It's like, you know why? Because they're ordering literally thousands of pounds of fabric at a time because they have that fucking budget. We don't have that.
I know.
You know what I'm saying? But we're trying to do stuff better than them on a smaller scale. So it's like, you know, it's a competitive game. So a lot of people ask like, oh, what's your advice for getting into clothing? It's like, unless you're going to dedicate your whole life to this shit, don't fucking do it.
Do people complain about your shipping prices?
Not so much, but yes.
Dog.
It's like, we don't work on their scale. Like they do such huge shipments, they work out a deal.
Yeah, so they can send the shit for free, quote unquote, which is not really free. It's just them charging you more so they don't have to pay for the shipping on the back end. Like shipping is expensive, y'all. Like it's not like when we charge you for shipping, we're like, we're pocketing that money.
None of it. Sometimes we lose. A lot of times we lose.
It's expensive, man. Just bear with us, please.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, if you guys want to start a clothing brand, before anything else, just be ready to sacrifice a lot. Like, mm-hmm. sacrifice a lot. I say more than anything. Entertainment, whatever I've done, clothing is the one that kind of, like, ate up most of my time. Like,
and it's crazy because here's the thing, right? I feel like you always have the businesses that are so high risk. Like, yeah. You got your clothing brand and then you also, like, do the food shit. And food shit is so like so, it's just so touchy. You know what I'm saying? Like you really gotta like be like. There are restaurants I know that are popping that are gonna have to close the doors even now, like years after the fucking COVID is over, right? Mm-hmm. Quote unquote. One of my favorite vegan restaurants in LA, dog, called Nick's on Beverly, is like they're going out of business.
That's crazy.
And it's a popping restaurant. Like every time we go, we gotta make reservations. It's always busy, but they aren't gonna make it. And I'm like, so bummed about that.
Yeah, it's
super discouraging whenever I'm like, maybe I'll open up a little food spot. And I'm like, damn, these fools are going out of business too?
Whew. It's hard. Food is also very fucking difficult. Most people have this like, this vision and idea of everything that's good about a business. Even like stuff that we do on entertainment, right? They only think about all the good shit, but they don't think about everything that we had to go through to get to the point where we can relax a little bit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because those first like whatever 7, 8, 10 years was fucking grinding. It was hard.
Mm-hmm.
So now that we live a little comfortably, you want this end result. So even with food, right? You just see the drink and stuff. Do you have any idea how hard it is to fucking even predict the amount of like supplies you need to create so you don't have extra waste, so you're not wasting money, always ordering materials all the time to make the drinks, staffing out things, working out their fucking salary, their stuff, their insurance, everything. This is all the shitty stuff about that I personally don't have to deal with because the other partners deal with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But there's a lot of work that goes into this stuff. It's not easy.
Just wait till I write this movie.
Jesus Christ.
And then
I'm going to be out in the street sucking dick by then. Just fucking toothless. I don't even care if the movie gets fucking 1 out of 10 on reviews. I just want it to come out so people can review it.
I care. I'm in a couple shitty movies that you can stream on a couple different websites.
You know, one person that I feel like he's never getting his due justice is Andrew Batchelor. Like
King Batch?
His talent is so high.
Yeah.
But he is in some of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life. And it's like, dog, it doesn't even match his caliber.
Yeah, man. Look, I feel like a lot of that comes from us coming from the social media world, right? Not only do you want quick something, like people offer you shit and you're like down because you want to build your resume so much, especially for someone like Batch. And I relate to him where you really want people to not forget, but like not see you as just a social media person. So as soon as someone comes barking in your ear about, I got this movie for you, you're like, fuck yeah, let's do it.
Let's get it.
Let's fucking do it. I'm gonna build my resume. IMDb list gets longer. Let's fucking do this shit, right? And the next thing you know, man, you're in fucking some random city for a couple weeks in a cheap hotel room. Shooting a very shitty movie.
Yeah.
And you can only just kind of do your best with it and pray no one watches it. One time, one guy tweeted me. He was like, hey, man, I just saw this movie. I was like, let's not talk about it.
You blocked him, deleted him.
sent goons to his house to rough him up. And so I get it. You know, Batch, like, here's the thing. Batch is a good actor, right? And he's funny and, like, he's a hard worker. And he does really well at everything he fucking puts his foot into. But you're saying you've seen some not great movies from him.
Every single one of his movies are terrible. They're bad. He knows it too. I'm pretty sure he knows it, right? And it's not even his fault. It's not like he's writing it.
Yeah.
It's not like his acting is terrible in it. It's just the movies aren't good. You know what I mean? It's these quick one-off Netflix movies, which are fine. It's great for a check. And, you know, it builds up his resume.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of wanting to see him do something dope because I think he has main character energy.
For sure.
So for him, he could be a main character in a fucking film. Just somebody write him some dope shit.
I know he's going for it too, man. Look, I'll tell you, when I go to the premieres of the whack movies that I've been in, the best compliment is when I make eye contact with someone I know.
You were good.
And they come to me and they're like, hey, you were great.
Yeah. Hey, I know what that means, dude. I fucking know what that means. Yeah, you were fantastic.
And then he's like, hey, man, you killed your part.
Yeah. He's also doing stand-up now, too.
And he's getting really good.
Yeah.
He's getting better. Yeah. Like, I've known Batch for a long time, so I remember when he first started, like, going out and doing it. It wasn't great, but, like, I think
No, I saw it. It was bad. He was really bad at stand-up.
I know. Yeah. But he's one of those people who I feel like has been putting in the work.
He's gotten better.
Crowd work is better. Stand-up is better in general. A lot of people, they'll start off as shitty comedians and then...
They just stay there.
Stay there or just quit.
I think he's around a lot of great people, too, who are good mentors to him. So his stand-up is getting better. Like, I think he's gonna do it. He's doing a tour too soon too. Mm. So he's on that fucking tip, man. So like for him, like he can do a little bit of everything. But damn, when he first started doing stand up, ooh, I saw him show up at an open mic. That shit was so fucking bad. I've never seen. Oh my god. But that's what I like about that. It shows that everybody has to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
And it was an open mic. It wasn't a come see King Batch do stand up, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, people can say what they want. If you don't like a stand up, that's fine. But you know, comedy is very subjective.
And when are you going on tour, David Stowe?
Huh? I don't know. Like I had a long conversation with a bunch of my stand up buddies, right? And they're always on my ass.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they see me work, and they're like, "Dog, just fucking do it." But I told them like, you have to understand, like, you got to really want to do stand-up to do it. It's fucking exhausting.
Right.
So if I'm just doing it just because I feel like I owe it to you guys as friends, then what's the point of this? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, because I could do stand-up whenever. I could do an open mic and just show up and do 5-10 minutes just for fun. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be anything special. But if I'm taking my time to set up a tour, fucking work my craft, go to these clubs day in and day out at night, fucking doing all this stuff every night, then I have to want this shit because it's going to take up my whole life.
Touring is a very tiring thing.
And I don't think I want it that bad.
Well, we're going to take a break and then we're going to talk about the things that David does want bad. Bye.
Let me tell you what I do want, though.
What do you want?
I want this business to be, I want to get done with this business in Hawaii for at least a year to see where we're at financially, right? And it's doing great.
Uh-huh.
So it's making me feel really good. People are enjoying it. I really, really appreciate it. The clothing line stuff, it's growing, it's getting better. So there's these things that are on my plate that are my obligations. And because I have a problem of like, I have to see something through.
Mm-hmm.
Like I've been doing stand-up since I was fucking 16. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And then, you know, during the time I took advantage of it because of YouTube. So we were traveling around doing these college shows and I set it up as stand-up comedy shows. Fucking 500,000 people show up every fucking show. After a while, it stopped feeling good.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know. Like it just didn't hit.
Mm.
And you know, when we were doing at the comedy store, we were doing that.
Yeah.
And I got to flex, you know, my improv and stand-up stuff and we were killing it.
That shit was fun.
It didn't feel good.
Really?
It felt good because I was doing it with you and it was fun.
Right.
But watching like the crowd laughing, it was like a given. It's like, yeah, oh, that's right. I did this since I was 16.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it didn't hit that spark.
It wasn't fulfilling for you.
It wasn't fulfilling, but it was fucking fun.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? So those type of things have to be fulfilling because I know how much time and effort it's going to take.
I see. It's the fun doesn't make it worth it.
Exactly.
Yeah, you need something more than just fun.
Exactly, because I'm having fun doing this.
Yes, yes.
You know
yes.
what I'm saying?
Without having to travel and shake hands. Shake hands with you.
Without having to go up on stage, bomb multiple times.
Right.
You know what I mean? Rework material, fucking bomb, go through that emotional fucking stress. Yeah. It's like, damn.
You know what I think about, since this show is a lot about things that we talk about doing that we'll never do. you know, as somebody who, you know, I don't do stand up, but I do kind of like, I have like, little jokes and bits written down here and
100%.
There. And when my agent used to hit me up, these different comedy clubs would ask me to come, like, yo, how much would it take for Tim to just come fill a room and just like do some material, right? And I'm like, honestly, man, I respect stand-up so much. I don't want to just be one of these social media influencers who's like gonna get people in the room just because of my following and do shitty stand-up. Just for the bag, you know?
Yeah.
I'm like, if I did that, I'd want to really work at it and then, you know,
get some of the offer, you know
what
I'm saying?
Yeah, get a decent little set together, you know? But what I have thought about doing is like putting together a small little show tour of like maybe a couple comedian homies, couple musician homies. I could host that motherfucker, right? Talk my shit, be funny. Rap a little bit towards the end, put together a little ensemble tour, and I know that would kill.
Yeah.
And fill up little like clubs and shit like that, right? Because at this point, who cares about the quality? Let's just get this money. But no, I think that would be fun.
I had a conversation with a kid. We did a show together, and then he was like a fan of mine. Not anymore, because after this conversation, he hated me, which is still his fault. because he talked to me about, like, he was asking me for advice for stuff that I couldn't give him.
Okay.
Right? He goes, I want to be an actor. I'm like, you're not asking the right person.
Yeah.
I'm not an actor. Mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, but I seen you act and stuff. I want to know, like, how can I get in the-? I was like, listen to me. You fucking idiot. I was like, I told you I'm not an actor, right? Yeah. So you need to ask advice from people that are good at what they do, right? If you ask me about how to be a good actor, I can't tell you because I'm not a good actor. Mm. I'm also not an actor. I'm somebody who can act. Mm. Those are two very different things.
Yeah.
And so he was just like, oh, like, you don't want to fucking tell because I'm what you think I'm going to be competition. I'm like,
dog. Oh God.
I wanted to sock this kid in his fucking face. And for the rest of that show, like, I went up on stage and he was sitting there and he was also doing the show too. I just roasted him for fucking 20 minutes. Yeah. And he was so butthurt, right? Because people were cracking the fuck up.
Yeah.
And I was like, let me just tell you something right now. So you want to be an actor, you want to be a stand-up. I was like, I didn't prep anything. And even though I'm not very good at stand-up in the stand-up world, I roasted you for 20 minutes. I did 20 minutes of crowd work on you. Mm. And I did better than your plan set.
Ooh.
So for me as a mediocre stand-up person to outdo you when you worked your set shows you're not good.
Wow.
So just go work on it. I was like, your problem is you're trying to skip steps, right? Yeah. So immediately unfollowed me that day.
Oh, God.
But I was giving him legit wisdom, though.
You're mean.
Nah, nah, nah.
Tough love.
Tough love.
Is important for people that don't want to hear it.
Yeah, and I gave him legit. And I watched one day, he's going to be hella successful. He's like, I had this one time in this club, this guy gave me some real shit. But I wanted to give him some real shit.
Right, right, right.
You know
right,
what I'm saying?
Right. Or he's going to not even realize that you were the reason. He's going to be like, fucking David So said this to me. and now look at me. And it's going to be like, yeah, look what he did for you, dog. He fucking gave you that motivation that you needed.
Because it's not like I didn't think he wasn't talented.
Yeah.
Right? I just thought that he was just trying to cheat his way into some shit. Yeah. And it wasn't worth it like that. It's like, you're asking the wrong person, bro.
Bruh, I got a homegirl that, like, is always like, put me on. I'm like, to what? No. She's like, put me on. I'm like, I'm still trying to get on.
Yeah.
Or like, she'll see I'll put up a clip of, I don't know, Send Foods or Basics of Bougie, and she'll be like, put me on your show. I'm like, did you watch the show? Yeah. What do you even say? I'm going to put you on the Basics of Bougie?
How?
What are you talking about?
Where do you fit in this?
Or like, she'll see When Foodie Calls and be like, bring me on with you and your boy. I'm like, what? Yeah. You want to come on with me and David while we talk about food? You don't even, what are you saying? And it's like, it's so annoying, dude.
I'll tell you this too, right? People like that are very dangerous because I've definitely had situations where there were people in the beginning that we brought into a circle that they now feel obligated to all the success that is there, even though they didn't do shit for it.
Mm.
And then you give them stuff out of pity.
Mm.
But the thing is like shit that happens to you in good fortune that you didn't work for, you're not appreciative of. Because they feel it's a fucking given.
Yeah.
And they go, how come I don't have more? How come I don't have more? Because you didn't work for it. That's why you feel that way.
Yeah, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, we worked fucking hard for this shit, you know? And now that I'm a fucking Z-list celebrity, right, I enjoy it very much.
It's a lot of bitter people, man. People that are bitter because, like, they're not at the level you're at. And they feel like, you know, somehow you being successful robbed them of of their success because, like, somehow your shine took away from theirs. And it's like, what makes you think what I'm doing stopped you from doing this, bro?
100%. And I'm always saying too, like, if you're trying to ride somebody's coattail, go find a real celebrity, you loser. Like, don't, this coattail is nothing. You have nothing to gain from me. Go find somebody bigger to step on. Like, right. I'm not that for you. I'm not going to get you anything. I'm struggling, bro.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
Yo, when people are putting me on, I'm like, you guys, I'm struggling to have people listen to my new rap video. my new rap video I just put out.
Like,
my song that I wrote for my baby girl only has 60,000 views. What the fuck?
Bro, there's this dude that I did YouTube videos with years ago when I first started. And out of nowhere, this was, I forgot, X amount of years ago, but it was a while back. And hits me up through Facebook messaging to say happy birthday. But it wasn't even a happy birthday. It was him just letting out all his gripes about me.
Mm.
He goes, hey, I just want to say happy birthday. I'm proud of your success, but I just want to be honest with you that when you left to LA and you didn't take me with you, I was actually fucking mad at you. And I'm like, take me with you? What are you, my child?
That's weird.
Grown ass fuck. What the fuck are you talking about, yeah, right? Yeah. He goes, I thought we were in this together. I'm like, You never expressed that you wanted to come to LA, you fucking idiot.
That's weird.
And I gave up everything. I sold all my shit. I had no fucking money.
Yeah.
I was like broke out of my fucking mind. Take you where? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I fucking lost contact with my family. My parents didn't want to talk to me. Like, dog, it was a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so he writes this whole thing. He goes, I just want to say that we were both doing stand up at the same time. And even though you get views and people know who you are, I don't think you're necessarily funnier than me. And when he wrote that shit, I just wrote something back to him really concise. And I said this on my podcast. I was like, if you were funnier than me, you would be at where I am, not where you're at now.
Ooh, which is where?
Nowhere. He's a fucking waiter.
God dang.
Not that being a waiter is something else, but if he wanted to be a stand-up, he wasn't doing stand-up.
Shots fired.
And he goes, well, I'm writing movies. I was like, dog, I've heard this sentence a million times over.
You're so cute. You're writing movies. I have a friend named Tim.
No. But he was like, yeah, I'm in, you know, meetings with executives, blah, blah, blah. And dog, guess what? Lo and behold, what's he doing? He's a fucking deadbeat. Ooh. Not doing anything anymore.
And that comedian's name is Shang Wang.
No. That guy's fucking dope. he's fucking dope.
I love that guy.
Yeah.
Just kidding. No, I legitimately love that guy. But yeah, that's super annoying.
He messaged that to me on my birthday, dude.
Like, what? I don't understand. First of all, damn, he knew your birthday. This guy loves you.
Yeah. You know what the fucked up shit is?
What?
I'm saying good things about him. And then he does that. I was like, wait, hold on. This whole like 5-6 years,
yeah.
I'm telling people how funny he is, even though he's not. Like, I'm saying like good things about this dude. And this whole time he was trashing me.
Damn.
I'm like, that kind of hurt my feelings a bit because I'm wishing the best for him. I'm wondering how he's doing. He's not hitting me up, so I'm like, oh, I bet you he's still killing. He's grinding it, whatever, whatnot. Yeah. People are asking me about him. I'm like, dog, he's probably killing it, doing really well. Like, if he ever comes to LA, I'll put him up or whatever, whatnot. Instead, the whole time, he was saying terrible things about me.
Wow.
Yeah, that shit kind of hurt my feelings a bit. Yeah.
Maybe he's in love with Mariel.
Mariel wasn't around at that time.
But, like, from your Instagram posts. Maybe
this was my woman.
Maybe he's obsessed with her, dog. Well,
I don't know, but I legit was pretty upset. I was like, dude, you could wish the best for some people, but that doesn't mean they're doing the same for you.
Yeah, it's fucked up that you would never even know.
I would have never known. On my birthday, too, of all days, dog. Hey, happy birthday, but just to let you know, you're a fucking piece of shit.
Just to let you know, you're the reason why I'm depressed. Yeah. Wow.
I'll say this, man. Like, he was so bad at stand-up. And we did stand-up together at the time. And at the time, we were already performing for like 3-4 years.
It was like that? Y'all were like a pair?
Yeah, we were doing stand-up, like in the same circuit. And so he was so bad at stand-up. I still remember one of his sets. And this is him doing it like 2 years into it. And he goes, opens up with this joke. And you already know it's going to be bad. So my dick is really small. Done. Nah. We're done.
Yeah.
Already done.
Yeah.
Right?
Hacky, played out shit.
And everybody was just, you could see people's like eyes roll.
But right? It's kind of funny too.
Oh my God. You could make it funny, I guess. And then people were just rolling their eyes.
Yeah.
If to the point where white people are rolling their eyes at that joke,
yeah.
You know it's not a good joke.
Yeah, yeah,
you know
yeah.
What I'm saying? And I'm like, you're saying you're better than me? Like, that's also offensive.
Right.
Highly offensive. You know what I'm saying? And like none of us were really good. We were very mediocre stand-ups that were just trying to get good at this shit.
So finish your sentence?
No, that's all.
Can I have him on No Chaser?
If you do, we are no longer friends. We are no longer friends. He was actually one of those dudes that was just always mediocre at everything, but he thought he was the shit.
Mm.
He was like a B-boy. He was terrible at dancing.
Ah, man.
But he would always like tell people like he's like a dope-ass B-boy and everything else. But he was also a really funny guy to be around. But I liked him, though.
Let me ask you this, David, so. As someone who sings, when you have friends that can't sing,
oh my God,
do you tell them?
It depends on the scenario.
Okay.
Great that you asked that.
Mm-hmm.
One of my closest friends is legitimately tone-deaf.
Mm.
And road trips, we're chilling or whatever, whatnot. Like a song comes on, everybody wants to sing it together.
Mm.
He's so tone deaf. It's like a record scratch moment where nobody else can sing. I don't ever tell him because I see how much he's enjoying himself. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
He's not posting stuff, videos. He's not showing people that he could sing.
Yeah.
If he was doing that, I'd be like, bro, stop it. There's not enough bandwidth on the internet that can handle that shit.
There was a girl I met one time, random, I forget if it was at an event or what. Followed each other on Instagram. And then she started posting these singing videos. Oh, so geez. Bad. Really bad, like tone deaf for sure. And she was being serious. She wasn't trying to be funny. So of course, I'd send them all to Rick. So we get it. so we could laugh, right? So Rick, when he found one that I hadn't seen yet, he'd send it to me or whenever she posted a new one and we would laugh. And then one day, I forget exactly what happened. I think I sent it to Rick, and instead of replying to my message, Rick like accidentally commented on it, like left a comment on her shit.
What did he say?
Oh, I forget exactly. You know, the details of this might be fucked around, but or maybe I'm the one that commented. I forget. But like, no. I think he sent it to her, some shit. But she was like, LOL, well, what's this about? And he was just like, oh, no, you're killing it.
Oh, my it was, God.
I forget. You know, and look, if you ask Rick, I might be fucking up the details on this. Maybe I'm the one that replied on accident. But it was something where we like accidentally said, and it was like, nice.
You know, there's people out there that I just let them shine and enjoy what they do. Because if it brings them joy, I don't want to take that away.
Right.
I take it away when they expect me to feel a certain way about their stuff.
Yeah.
Like they keep showing it to me, right? And like, do you see? Like, dude, I fucking killed this shit. It's like, now you're exhausting me. Like, just do it and enjoy it. Have fun with it.
What if they created a whole music page and they were just posting bad sing songs on it?
You know what? They'll be my James Cage White. That's what it is. Do you remember the little Vietnamese? He was Filipino. He would do happy birthday to you.
Bretman Rock. No. That's not Bretman Rock.
Hitman Breaker of the Eye. That was his name.
What is this?
Hitman Breaker of the Eye.
Okay.
He was this Filipino dude that was super fucking skinny, right?
Yeah.
And he would but he would sing his heart out. And he blew the fuck up because of how hilarious it was.
Okay.
And I think he found out that people were watching it as a joke.
Oh, he didn't know.
And he deleted the whole thing.
Oh.
Yeah. Because he thought that people enjoyed it. But nobody knew that he thought that he was good.
Oh. Like they thought he's being funny on purpose?
Yeah. Happy birthday to you. Just like that.
Yeah.
And I would cry laughing. The best.
One time we were playing charades, and this guy, the homie's cousin, his card said traffic, like you're stuck in traffic, right? So, and mind you, my rap name used to be Traffic, right? So he's trying to portray like, oh, you're stuck in traffic. So Rick, he's guessing where we're playing, and Rick is like, bad rapper. And we laughed.
Only friends can roast you like that.
I know.
You stupid idiot.
I know, but
you be hurting people, huh?
We all, in my circle of friends, I don't know about your circle of friends, but we always kind of talk about how like, man, if other people were in our circle, they would like cry.
Oh, dude, 100%. No, did you see that story of my buddy Jason Chenny, stand-up comic? Really yes. Fucking funny. I post this MMA fighter, this photo of a guy who just looks like him.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a diss. This is an MMA. He's ripped.
Yeah.
Right? I'm like, it's like Jason Chenny. It looks like you. And I posted it. He finds the most ugliest, fattest demon statue with the longest breasts ever. He goes, that's funny. I found a photo of you. I was like, of you transitioning into a woman. And I'm like, that's not even the equivalent, bro. Like, I legitimately thought that this person looks like you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I was like, you fucking autistic fuck. He goes, oh, I thought you were making fun of me. I was like, how? How am I making fun of you? How? Like, it's an MMA fighter. He looks good.
Well, maybe he genuinely thought that's how you look, David. So, you ever think of that? Maybe, huh?
And this is why this podcast is the last episode of Dudes Behind the Dudes.
I think if we went on tour as a Dudes Behind the Foods, we would get some good people in there.
Oh, for sure. It'd be super fucking funny.
Just us talking shit about people. Maybe even eating food.
And we'll call it Dudes Behind the Foods.
Mm.
Does that sound good?
I hate it.
Well, you know. I mean, it's very possible. People have been doing a lot of live shows recently. And I feel like, honestly, we could do it better.
No, honestly.
Can I come?
Yeah, of course, Robin.
Yeah, you could come and then you can come.
Oh,
you can come.
Oh.
And then you can come like a river.
River. Rib her.
eat her ass.
Oh, I thought you were going to make an Adam and Eve joke with the rib.
Ooh, bring it back, bring it back. Rib her, her rib, his rib he made her from.
I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back ribs.
Chili's. It's chili. In here, hot in here, Nelly with the Band-Aid under our eyes. Save yourself from the bags. The Gucci bags are fake.
China, COVID.
Corona with some lime. Limon, limon me. When you're not strong.
Damn, dude. That one was a good reach. I like that.
You gotta throw those in there, you know?
I loved that so much.
But you gotta do it with the cholo accent, though, dude. Yeah. Lean on me when you're not strong.
Robin Couch, you could have your own little meet and greet for yourself, because I'm sure they'd be. People have been begging for a Robin Couch face reveal.
That's right. It's just going to be a cardboard cutout and you're going to stick your ass in it. And that's it.
Just the ass where the eyes should be.
Oh. Googly eyes.
Googly eyes on the butt cheek.
Yeah.
We're going to do it just like Everything Everywhere All at Once.
I'm down. I'm not going to give my ass out there for free.
Oh, no. There's a cover charge.
Great.
For sure.
Great. Yeah. And then we'll cut you 1%.
God bless America.
Yeah.
God bless America. But realistically, I ain't going nowhere anytime soon.
Yeah. You got two kids. One of them screams and the other one can't sleep.
The goddamn babies. I got to get back to them anyways. Thank you all for watching another episode of Dudes Behind the Foods. Make sure you like, comment, share, subscribe, all that bullshit. Buy things from Secret Society. Buy things from Goody. We love you. Bye.
Bye. Yo, it's the dudes behind the foods. Dudes behind the foods. Yeah, it's the dudes behind the foods. That's actually really fucking good. Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling, because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish, or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7. So I know you've got a lot going on, but remember, I'm here for you. So bother me when no one's listening, because I will. Bother me when it feels like it won't get better, because it can. Bother me because you're never a bother. Whether it's a low point or a crisis, get help for yourself or a friend. Learn more at neverabother.org or call or text 988, available 24/7.